Okay, I have to give a introduction to this schmooze. About four years ago, I think, the yeshiva went to Eretz Yisrael, and we were learning in the Beis Medrash of Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and there was a person who was learning there one Seder. I believe his name was Rabbi Becker, not related to the Beckers here, who, I believe that was his name. So you know I'm not good at names, so there's no Raya. But he actually learned in Chafetz Chaim in my days, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he apparently got some degree in psychology. I don't know exactly what he had. And he had a practice of dealing with basically yeshiva guys, a lot of yeshiva guys in Israel, who have issues with tithes. My recollection was mainly issues of tithes that are perhaps in a little bit in the abnormal perversions, perhaps, of tithes, obsessions with tithes in the, not the normal tithes. We're talking about tithes noshim, tithes anoshim, whatever, things like that. And he told me that his entire practice is based on the Shmuz and the Chidushi Alev and Parshas Nosa. And I was shocked because I wrote the Shmuz and I didn't know it was such a gewaldige Shmuz. He said his whole practice is based on that Shmuz. So, you know, I read over the Shmuz, a pretty good Shmuz, but I didn't know it. So first of all, I think it's kedai to say over the Shmuz with his Havana in the Shmuz, which it really was what it said, but he did add a knech. So, and then, but since I can't just say over a Shmuz from the Yeshiva, even if it's with an added knech, so we have to say two extra chidushim on this Chazal. So we have three Shmuzim. The Chazal reads as follows. Dover Acher, Ish, the Pasuk is by Saita. The Pasuk says, Ish, Asher Tish Seishto, if a person, and it says a person twice, if his wife is Mizane. So the Chazal is saying it's like a tzivoy to the man who is being Mizane, have a shave de bnei insha. Be normal. Be like other people. Maisa b'isha achas. There was a maisa with a certain woman. Shiniskakek lo adam echad. That there was a certain man who wanted to be Mizane with her, and he was, you know, trying to seduce her, whatever, convince her. Amrla eza makom derech, and he made up, told her, go meet me at a certain place, at a certain hour, it will be Mizana. Ma osa isha, so this lady didn't want to be Mizana, so she went, hochav amr ishto. So he told the person, the man's wife, for hocha ishto osa makom. So the wife dressed herself up, or maybe it was a dark room, whatever it is, so she went to that place. And she, instead of her, this man told this woman, this Me'eshes Ish, to be Mizana with him in a certain place. So why the woman instead told the man's own wife, she went there, he had Bia with her, but he thinking that he really had Bia with the first woman. Later he felt terribly guilty, because here he was Mizana, in his mind, he was Mizana with an Eishes Ish, so he felt so guilty, and he, to the point that he wanted to commit suicide. Omrelo Ishto, so Ishto, his wife told him, don't feel so guilty. Mi pitcho achalta, you ate from your own bread. Umikaisa shasisa, and you drank from your own cup, meaning that the one you had relations with was not with a stranger, but was with myself, your wife, with me. And a mi garm lecho, but who caused you all this problem? That you have this desire to be Mizana, Sha'at Gas Ruach, because you're about Gaiva. So have a Shavit if they are them. Be normal. Be Ish. Be like a regular person. Most normal people only have one wife. They're sad. You are about Gaiva. You want to have two wives or an extra one woman besides your wife. So don't be about Gaiva and you won't have a problem. Okay. That's the Chazal. So the Rashiva said, first to say over Rabbi, the Rashiva Shmuz, which Rabbi Becker said was the yesod of his whole practice. Rishivas asked a pretty obvious kasha, is that we would think, and Pashas were right, that a person who's mezane is mezane because he has taiva. And the Chazal, it says that. A person is called shalita because a person is not mezane until he becomes a shalita. It means because he goes like mentally insane from his taiva. So we know that znus is caused by taiva. Here, they're telling the person, and it seems like it's a universal rule, that if a person is mezane, it's because he's a bal gaiva. It doesn't stim. We know people are mezane because they're bali taiva, not because they're bali gaiva. You tell the guy, oh, so you know why this happened? Because you're a bal gaiva. Who said? You know why it happened? Because I'm a bal taiva. So the Rishiva said like this, the following is said. The Rishiva said that taivas, people don't have taivas for every crazy thing. There are certain rules why people have taivas. People have taivas for things that they feel are magialo. Magialo means it's coming to me. It's mine. I have a right to it. See, if you stole my boat, oh, I want that boat. But if it's your boat, okay, it's yours. Right? People who feel that they deserve it, if they have a right, then they have taivas. He says, if a person is, here's the, most people marry one woman. They accept the fact that that's normal in life. A normal person has one wife, and that's it. And you don't have anything to do with someone else's wife. A person who wants more, he wants more than everyone else. He wants two wives. He wants his next door neighbor's wife. He says, of course it's coming from taiva. But the only reason why he has that taiva is because he feels, oh, she's nicer than my wife. I should have such a nice wife. She has this advantage. Why does he have it and not me? I should have that. So it's a coming from gaiva. If he wouldn't be about gaiva, he wouldn't have the taiva. Okay. That was Rashiva Shmuz. Okay, nice shmuz. So how did that apply to this, to Rabbi Becker applied it to his whole practice? So he's saying, basically, he says when a person comes to him and he has a problem of taiva that he can't control. So if a guy would come to me, I would tell him, you got to work on self-control, yirish shamayim, whatever. But he said that in his experience, you know, for many of the people that he dealt with, maybe he's not dealing with such great people, I don't know, that doesn't always work. The guy says, I have so much time, I can't control myself. Said, well, you have to work on self-control. I can't control it. I'm burning up with taiva. So he says, you have to somehow deflate the taiva. How do you deflate the taiva? Well, here it says you take away his gaiva, but that itself is not so, you know, go take away a guy's gaiva. That's probably as hard as taking away his taiva. You know, gaiva is very difficult to take away. But he said the same yesod. Why does gaiva cause a taiva? Gaiva causes a taiva because you feel it's coming to me. So if I could convince you that this isn't coming to you, this is not a norm, then also it deflates the taiva. In other words, say a person has a tremendous taiva for pornography. So he comes, he tells the guy, listen, pornography is a new invention. For 5,000 years, they did not have pornography. Normal, healthy people, goyim, Jews, they didn't watch pornography. That's not a normal. The schmutzig dick of America has been mechanesh, a new form of taiva. And okay, einochinami, it's tempting. But you have to hear that it's not what the human being is not wired for that. He wasn't created for that. That's not normal. For 5,000 years, people were happily married and lived their lives without pornography. So that means that this isn't something that's coming to you. It's not a natural human need. Okay, it's an enjoyable thing, granted. But don't think it's a need. I must have it. I need it. It's coming to me. It's mine. I have a right. No, it's not normal. It's not, right? A person who deals obviously with homosexual taivas. So that's not a normal taiva. It's not something that's coming to you. That's not the way the human, Hashem created humans not to have that taiva. It's a perversion. We're not saying there's something wrong with you. We're not, there's a reason. It's not your fault, whatever. But the mice is a perversion of the normal taivas that Hashem created in a human being. So that realization, if you can realize that this taiva that I have is not the normal taiva that was created in Sheishis Yemei Breishis, so to speak. Then it's not like, I'm a red-blooded American, so yeah, ain't a chinami, a red-blooded American. But these taivas are not, they're new inventions. They're because of the crazy shtus of American society. So he said that deflates to some extent the taiva. So it's less, it takes easier to fight, obviously. I'm not saying it removes the taiva fully, but it's a gimmick, it's a way. He says, according to the Rashivas Yisoid, just like if you could reduce a person's gaiva, then you reduce his taiva. Because taiva is coming because it's mine, it's my right. It drives me crazy that something that I deserve and I should have and I don't have. That's what drives a taiva. So he says, if you can convince a person, make him realize, this isn't coming to you. This is not what, when Hashem created the world, He didn't create the world that you should be having these taivas. Not denying that the taiva exists. But it's not meant to be. It's not meant, it's not supposed to be. He said, that decreases the taiva. So he said, this was this Rabbi Becker, that his whole practice is based on this chazal, right? Which I found very fascinating. To go a little further, that was Rav Shiva Shmuz with his twist of the Shmuz. In other words, Rav Shiva said it by Gaiva, and he just took it and applied it, with other ways to show that it's not coming to you. I want to say a little different Shmuz, which is on a similar idea, similar vein, perhaps. Look what happened in this story. Very strange story. There was this person who obviously had a extremely strong taiva. Now, he was married. But nonetheless, he had this extremely strong taiva for a different woman. Now, the person is not a bum. He's a person later who, he realizes it. When and the taiva goes away, he's ready to, to die. But apparently, he had such a tremendously strong taiva. So why does he have such a strong taiva? He is his wife. His wife is ready to be mezana with him. But it must be because, his wife isn't, there's something missing in his wife, in his mind. His wife is, I don't know, she's too fat, she's too this, I don't know, whatever it is. There's some in his mind, there's something special about that woman. She's beautiful. She's Miss America. I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever it is in his mind, why he's totally driven. I must be mezana with this lady. So what happens? He goes ahead and he chases her and he goes, and then he goes and he makes up to be mezana at a certain place. And what happens? His wife goes there. Doesn't even say she dressed up. She was probably a dark one. And he's mezana with his wife. Oh. That was good. He satisfies his taiva. It's so stupid. He just was mezana with his wife. What? How did his wife going there satisfy him? There's a reason why he's not happy with his wife. I don't know what it is, but there's some reason why his wife is no good. He needs something else. And then you give him his wife and, right? Imagine a seer, a guy who's in yeshiva. And he eats supper in yeshiva. And he comes at 6 months yeshiva. I can't take Mr. Stahl's suppers anymore. I'm sick of chicken. Every night chicken, whatever it is. No, I'm going out of my mind. I need to go out to a fancy restaurant and get a really good meal. So he says, okay, let's get in the car and we'll drive. And he drives him around the block a few times. And then they come back to the yeshiva and they give him Mr. Stahl's supper. He says, oh, this was great. It's crazy. But that's exactly what's happening here. The guy is getting exactly what he's saying. Oh, I can't take it. I need something else. And you give him the exact same thing and he's happy. So what you see from here is a tremendous yesod. You see from here that taiva is largely imagination. It's not real. It's not that, ooh, she's better than my wife. It's the exact same thing. And I always tell her the story. It's such a great story. Excuse me, the people heard it already. That my brother said a story that he's a true story. He was working, my brother works during the week in the OU. He's one of the heads there. So he says his wife calls him up on the way home, pick up some balinsas. And she said for supper, and she said there are two brands of kosher balinsas. Make sure, I know you probably want to buy the cheaper brand, but don't buy the cheaper brand because the kids will not eat it. They don't like the way that brand tastes, and it's a total waste of money. Make sure you buy the more expensive brand. So my brother's sitting there in the OU, he looks in there just for fun, he looks in the computer. They're both the exact same balinsa. They're made in the same plant, the same place. They're exactly the same. The only difference is the wrapper and the price. But the kids, no, this balinsa, yuck, we're not going to touch this. This is disgusting. Why'd you buy this balinsa? The other balinsa, delicious. It's the same thing, right? It's a true story. It's just, that's how people are. Taivas are purely, very often, they're totally imagination. And I think this is, it's the same, it's another gimmick realization to decrease a taiva. Because we're saying that sometimes you have to come with a two-prong attack. One end, you have to work on self-control, and you have to work on more Yiras Shemayim, but you also have to work on lahakdines anisoyim, to minimize the Yetzirah. So Rabbi Becker said, how is he going to minimize the Yetzirah from this chazal? By realizing that these taivas that you have, perhaps, are not normal. Not that there's something wrong with you for having them, but they're not normal in that this is not what the human being was created to have. But here's another way to reduce a taiva. By realizing that it's a mirage. It's pure illusion. It's a crazy thing in your brain that you think this is going to give you pleasure. You think this is something amazing. And it's not. It's nothing special. It's just imagination. And many, many of our taivas are pure imagination. And even the pleasure we get is from the imagination. So if you hear that it's nothing there. It's not real. The pleasure isn't real. It's just we imagine it. And then when we do it, we imagine it was great when it wasn't. So that itself would also greatly reduce the pleasure. That's Chiddush number two. Okay. Chiddush number three is also a very important point. We sort of said it already. This person, he goes ahead, and after he goes ahead and he chases this woman. He goes ahead and he tries to convince her to be mezana with him. Obviously, she's not so interested, as we see that she even goes and tells his wife, but he keeps after her and might tells her where to meet him, whatever. And then he goes to that place to be mezana. And then later, when he realizes and his time is gone, he says he wants to ubike shlomis. I assume that's literal. He's basically ready to commit suicide. Now that means that he has a pretty decent amount of yiras shamayim. Well, otherwise, why would he ubike shlomis? Okay, I did an aveira, rake it up to another aveira. But no, it means a person is talking about a person who usually doesn't do aveiras, who it bothers him tremendously that he did an aveira to the point that he's ready to mamish. It drives him so terrible. It destroys his conscience so much that he's ready to go ahead and commit suicide. So it bothers him so much, so why'd he do it? if you're a person that the thought that you did this aveira is so horrendous that it makes you want to kill yourself. That's not a little step. So then, first of all, if you have so much realization that it's wrong, why are you doing it? And it's not shot. Okay, sometimes you say a person, in a spur of a moment, he got carried away. But it's not a spur in the moment. He spoke to the woman. He made up a place where she should meet him. Right? So it was premeditated, murder, you know, the premeditated znus. He went up and he made up a plan and meet me, you know, he spoke to her and he told her, meet me over there, and she had enough time to go home and tell his wife and his wife to go there. So it's not like he just got carried away. Sometimes a person, you know, you get, temporary insanity. Okay. But this is not temporary insanity. This guy is premeditated. He's thinking about it. So how can it be that a person who has so much yiras shamayim, that it bothers him so much that the didin aveira can go ahead and do it? So also a chiddush. The chiddush is that, you know, apparently it's not a stira. Person can have tremendous yiras shamayim, and he can still do a terrible aveira. What is the nafkaminas of that? There's a few nafkaminas. One is we can't trust ourselves to put ourselves in a muck on Nisayan, because me, I'm such a tzaddik, I have so much yiras shamayim, I would never do an aveira, because I suspect that this person had more yiras shamayim than we do, and he still did an aveira. It means if after the fact a person does do an aveira, he shouldn't get, you know, you can get upset for yourself that you did the aveira, but he should hear that even people with real yiras shamayim are nichshol. So you don't, it's not that I'm a terrible person, I'm a rasha marusha, I'm the worst person in the earth if I did this aveira, because it can happen. You see, a great person, so to speak. In a sense, he's someone, I don't want to say a great person, but a person with a real yiras shamayim, it's not crazy. Chazal aren't saying this is a crazy story. Chazal don't tell crazy stories. This is a normal thing. It's for a person with this amount of yiras shamayim to go ahead and do the aveira. And I think the third point, and this the Reshiva once said this too, is another gimmick to take away the taiva. Because we should hear that even though we have tremendous taiva, but after we indulge in the taiva, we're going to feel miserable. And that realization should in itself, it's not worth it. Like, does it pay to indulge in a taiva, which maybe it is enjoyable, b'shas ma'isa? But why are you indulging in a taiva? Because you want to be happy. But it's not going to make you happy. It's going to make you miserable. It's going to make you want to commit suicide. So why would you indulge in a taiva that's going to make you miserable and want to commit suicide? So the realization, if a person could hear that when he has a tremendous taiva, to stop to think, but if I give in to this taiva, how am I going to feel about myself tomorrow? And that realization that I'm going to feel lousy, I'm going to feel so terrible, I'm going to want to commit suicide, come on. Maybe we're not on that level, Baruch Hashem, maybe. Or I'll say not Baruch Hashem, whatever it is. But at least Baruch Hashem, I don't want to worry about it. But that the guys are going to, but they'll still feel terrible. So that realization in itself can reduce the taiva. So we have here, besides a few, I think some nice chidushim, but we have here perhaps three gimmicks, which all, I believe, work to reduce the strength of the taiva. Obviously, you're supposed to use yiras shamayim to fight the taiva. You have to fight it. You have to have self-control. You have to exercise self-control, whatever. But there are three eitzes, lahakdin es hanisayim. The first eitzah is to realize that these taivas, many of them that we are pulled, are not, they're not coming to us. The world was not created for indulgement of these taivas. And therefore, they're not normal. They're taivas that were created by some sick mind in Hollywood to sell movies to make money. So they think of some crazy thing and they make opinion. Normal people don't do things like that. Just because there's some crazy actor that did it and they made a picture and they put over the world, it's not a normal thing. And that realization that this isn't normal behavior, this isn't what people have done for the last 5,000 years, in itself will decrease the taivas automatically. The second is, we said, is the realization that much of the taiva is just an illusion. It's just It's not real. It's not really as enjoyable as we think it is. It's just our imagination. It's just we have, it's not a real pleasure. And we're fooling ourselves. And we're being pulled to say, oh, because it's so good. It's not so good. The whole thing is, it's just a pure imagination, and be realistic and realize that there ain't such a big pleasure. That's also when we minimize the taiva. And the third thing is to focus. I think this is probably the most powerful thing, the maisa, is to focus on how you're going to feel after the fact. If I do it, why should I do something for pleasure if it's going to make me miserable? Why should I do something that's going to make me want to commit suicide? It just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. You gotta be, forget about Eidem Haba, forget about Ruchnias, forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just doesn't make sense. Eidem Hazeh. Why would a person want to indulge in a pleasure which is going to make him feel miserable about himself? So that realization that the taivas after the fact, the response of a normal person is like this person, that after you indulge, you feel terrible. So that goes ahead and greatly is probably I suspect the strongest force to control the taivas, the realization that this taiva is not going to make me happy, it's going to make me depressed. And then the last thing is just the realization that if chas v'shalom a person is nichsho or was nichsho, we have to be able to snap back to realize that even, so to speak, people with you, it does happen, even people with Yiras Shamayim are nichsho. It's not an indication that we're a bad person. It can happen. And obviously there's tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, but the problem is sometimes we use that as a reflection that we're a failure, and we see from here that it's not true. A shayach for a person could have tremendous Yiras Shamayim and still be nichsho in mamish, kirei arayis, with an eishes ish, you know, the real avera, really mamish ben makavon and ben mezid completely.